chapter 8, verses 29 through 33. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. This is the word of God for the people of God. And now Pastor Pamela will present this week's message entitled, Mr. Doubt, God Never Gives Up.
Thank you, Don. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Do you ever think that because you aren't good enough for God that Satan is talking to you? Do you ever feel as if salvation is free for everyone else but you? That's Mr. Doubt talking to you. If God gives his Son for us, he isn't going to give up on us, is he? Stop listening to Mr. Doubt. Mr. Doubt is like a nosy friend, unwanted guest, an obnoxious boss. Brother and sister, just when we prepare for a nice weekend, about to have a nice cup of coffee, sit in that comfortable chair with a book, or whatever, a drink of coffee or whatever, here comes Mr. Doubt and interrupt our thoughts. He said, Christian, you got a few minutes? I've got a few questions. I just want to know, how can you believe that a big God could ever give a hoot about little you? Don't you think you are being presumptuous in thinking that God will make a home for you in heaven? You think you are on pretty good terms with the Holy One? But have you forgotten that big lie you told, that thing you stole, that friend that you backbite? Do you think you're going to get away with it? No, 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 no. You have to pay a price. Tell me, how do you know God give a darn about you anyway? Satan loves to plant doubt in our mind, but it's okay, because God will not let us down. He's always by our side. Brother and sister, you know somebody like Mr. Doubt, pestering, irritating you, criticizing you, always judging you, kick the stool from under our feet and leave us lying there? Tell us not to believe in the invisible, yet offer no answer for the inadequacy of the visible. Satan's aim is not to convince us, but to confuse us. He doesn't offer solution, he only raises questions. My first point is, don't let Satan fool you. Satan may speak the current news, but he is aware of the truth. The first seed of doubt were in the Garden of Eden, in the mind of Eve. She went for a stroll without Adam. She was minding her own business, enjoying the beautiful things God gave them. She looked up, and what did she see? A peering, beady eyes looking down at her. Satan positioned himself between Eve and the sun and cast the first shadow of doubt. You mean God told you a lie? Yes, he said, if you eat of the tree, he said you'll surely die. But Satan said it so sweetly, no picket sign, just some sweet talk, you know what I mean. Have you ever experienced someone like that? Sweet talk, but poison comes out of their mouth. Had any visit from this person lately? Find yourself going to church in order to be saved and not because you are saved. Find yourself doubting that God could forgive you for all that you have done. You have been sold snake oil. If you are more cynical about Christian than sincere about Christ, then guess who came to dinner? Satan. Brothers and sisters, put a lock on your door. Post a do not disturb sign. Let's take a look at an encounter with faithful God had with a doubter. God made a few promises to Abraham, as he was known at the time. But he found God's promises about as easy to swallow as a fish bone. And we know that's hard to swallow. God promised that his descendant would be numerous as the stars in the sky, and all the land will be his. But the problem was, he had no children. But God said, no problem, I'll take care of it. I can see him looking at Sarah in her gown and slippers with the aid of a walking stick. I know you're a great man, but take a look at my wife. She's too old to bear a child. But God said to him, why do you doubt me? Right then, I can imagine that bone just slid down his throat. Mr. Bob, if you're listening this morning, I can imagine the doctor telling you that Miss Kamarov is going to have a baby and he will be the president of the United States. Hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Brother and sister, it is as if God is allowing Abraham's doubt to run its course. In his dreams, Abraham was forced to face the lunacy of it all. The voice of doubt still comes speak convincingly. How do you know that God is speaking to you? What if this is all a hoax? Well, after he swallowed that fish bone, he said, okay, God, but I need your intervention. And of course, God intervened, and Sarah gave birth to a son. Unbelievable, but true. My second point is, how do you know that God is speaking? We know because he would never, ever lie to us. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. And all we have to do is trust him, take him at his word. Brothers and sisters, when a thick and dreadful darkness of doubt enters our mind, the same darkness we feel when we hear the word, the tumor is malignant, We have to operate the same darkness that falls on us when we realize we just lost a member of our family. The same darkness we feel when we realize divorce we did not want came through. The same darkness that allowed Jesus to scream, my God, why have you forsaken me? The darkness of the coronavirus that is trying to attack us. Why, God? Yes, those are appropriate words for when we doubt and when God seems far away. But is he? Is he far away? Or is he right there near you? Right by your side? We know that God is always with us. When we pray and have faith and watch him turn it all around and make it better by never giving up on us. My third point is, God never gives up. The invisible God has drawn near to make his immovable promise to Abraham. He said, your descendant, I have given this land. Brothers and sisters, God people often thought he had forgotten them, but they are the ones who forgot him. Even when they forgot him, he never gave up on them. When Joseph was dropped into the pit by his brother, God did not give up on them. He saved them from starvation. When Moses said, here I am, Lord, but don't send me, send my brother Aaron, God didn't give up. When Aaron was making a false god, at the very moment Moses was with the true God, God didn't give up. When Samson whispered the secret of his strength to Delilah, God didn't give up. When David plot against Uriah so he could sleep with his wife, God didn't give up. When God's word lay forgotten and man idols stood glistening, God didn't give up. When the children of Israel were taken into captivity, God didn't give up. He could have given up, but he did not. He could have turned his back. He could have walked away from all that mess, but he didn't. He did not give up. When he became flesh and was a victim of an assassination attempt before he was 2 years old, he didn't give up. When the people from his own hometown tried to push him over the cliff, he didn't give up. When his brother ridiculed him, he didn't give up. When he was accused of blaspheming by people who didn't fear God, he didn't give up. When Peter worshiped him at supper and denied him at the fire, he didn't give up. When they spat in his face, he didn't spit back. When the bystanders slapped him, he didn't slap back. When a whip ripped his flesh, he didn't turn and command the awaiting angel to stuff that whip down their throat. And when the soldier nailed his hands to the cross, it wasn't the soldiers who hold Jesus steady, it was God. For those wounded hands were the same invisible hands that had brought light into Abraham's thick and dreadful darkness. The next time that obnoxious Mr. Doubt, Satan, walks in, throw him into the river of forgetfulness, or take a walk with him to Calvary and show him the cross with the holy blood all over it. Tell him he was crucified, dead and buried. Tell him how the grave could not hold him down. Tell Mr. Doubt He is risen and is now sitting at the right hand of his Father, intervening for our sins. Tell him that because Jesus died, salvation is free. Tell him that he put food on our table, clothes on our back, roof over our head. Tell Satan that all things he gives us is free, free, free. And we know that all things God work for good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. There was this young 17-year-old black guy, innocent kid, got arrested for raping a white woman, thrown in jail. I can imagine him crying to God, doubting that God is with him. But he never gave up. He committed himself to God. He prayed, and he prayed, and he sang, and he sang, until Almighty God sent someone to check what was going on. And they freed him because of his DNA. They found out after 37 years that he was innocent of the charge. But guess what? God didn't give up on him. Guess where he is right now? AGT, America Got Talent. And guess what? He is in the finale, singing and praising God for never let go of him. He commit himself to Christ. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plan will succeed. If he is now in the final of ATG, what can you do if you trust God? What can you do if you put all and everything in God? Stop listening to Mr. Doubt. Tell Mr. Doubt that God loves us so much that he gave up his only son, that we may have life and have it abundantly. Brothers and sisters, the hand that carried the flame and wrote the promise gave up his only son instead of giving up on us. So when Mr. Doubt enters your thoughts, tell him to get lost. Tell Mr. Doubt, you know who is in charge of your life. God bless this word. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Help us to never doubt you in anything.